This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first call your parents to say, "I'm sorry." And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Those boys, we're hearing them, we're seeing them, we're feeling them, we're understanding them. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And this is Let's Hear It for the Boys. We are going to be talking about The Boys Season 4, Episode 7, The Insider. So if you haven't gotten inside of Prime Video and watched it, please do, because we're going to spoil the heck out of it. Starting with this recap right now, bunch of big stuff going down this episode as everything starts to close in on A-Train. Sage knows he's the leak. Ashley knows he's the leak. He knows he's the leak. And by the episode's end, everybody knows he's the leak, and he has fled the country with his family after stepping up and saving Annie and Butcher from the Deep and Black Noir, sent there to kill them, probably by Homelander. Meanwhile, on the other side of things, Butcher, Annie, and Huey go on a mission and discover maybe not the culmination of this plan, but the next step of this plan is they're going to try to assassinate the president using a shapeshifter on, you're not going to believe this, a date called January 6th.
I mean, that's the ref that it was. That's the killer right there.
Yeah, ref was great stuff. Not kind of beating our head, or it was just mentioned once, and it was like an oh shit moment for sure.
It was mentioned multiple times, and then featured on documents. So, I mean, like I've said all season, this show does not pull its punches. I love how hard it goes.
Yeah, this was a crazy episode with some big stuff going down. As you said, A-Train finally steps up. The Deep kills Ambrosius, his octopus. Annie gets captured by the end of the episode. What do you guys think? Actually, before we do, there was something that we didn't really touch on, and not to start on like too dark of a note here. Ooh. But a lot of the discussion about the last episode was, opinions varied, but a lot of people felt they went too far with Huey's storyline. We talked about that a little bit from the perspective of kink shaming. People came out stronger and started calling what happened to Huey sexual assault. Just probably should have said trigger warning there before I said it, but trigger warning potentially discussion. But they felt like what happened there was sexual assault and it wasn't really dealt with in the show at all. So my feeling was, okay, wait and see. Let's see how they deal with it this week. Ooh. The answer is, not at all.
Nada.
Not at all. And then Huey gets sexually assaulted again.
Yes, which That's was true. The reason I wanted to bring this up is I don't think they meant this necessarily in the writer's room. In fact, Eric Kripke, when he was asked about it with Variety, where he was asked about Huey being sexually assaulted, he unfortunately was like, well, I didn't view it that way. That's a dark way of viewing it. We thought it was hilarious, and here's why we thought it hilarious. And everybody's like, hilarious? We don't want to use that word, Kripke. What
maybe,
do with that?
Maybe don't.
And that we had that episode, and I was like, okay, we'll see if Huey is reeling into this. They did a very good job and a very nuanced job with Annie in the first season being sexually assaulted by the Deep. Are we going to deal with this instead? By the end of the episode, as Pete pointed out, whether he knows it or not, he was raped by a shapeshifter. And I'm now nervous. We have 1 hour to go, and I feel like they are not going to deal with this at all. I mean, obviously, again, we'll see. We'll put like a little asterisk on this discussion. But how are you guys feeling about it? I feel like, I don't know. Again, I'll stop rambling on. What's your take on it?
I mean, I think this season, I mean, this show, like I just said, in a positive way, goes hard. And I think this season, they're juggling a lot of things. And I feel like like you're saying, they're missing this as an idea. They're missing this as something, especially when they were very focused on Huey's trauma coming out of his father's death, that they are just, I think it's just moving quickly. There's a lot of moving parts, and it feels like they're missing that, this issue for sure. I mean, I do think there will be some sort of repercussions from the what happened in this episode at the end with the shapeshifter, but whether it's actually dealing with it, I don't expect them to do that.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say – oh, sorry. Go ahead, Pete. You give your take and then I'll –
I was just going to say, yeah, I don't think it's going to get done. And that's hard because it's they created this problem and then aren't dealing with it. And it's one of those things where it might not have been the writer's intention or whatever the intentions might be different from how people interpret it. And that's very tricky and very tough. But yeah, like we said, there's one more left. I don't think it will be dealt with this because there's so much other, but it would be amazing if it did. So we'll have to wait and see for sure.
Yeah, definitely asterisk in this. Like we said, we're not making any determinations here, but I do think it's interesting to use the phrase missing things, Justin. And I want to couch this in still, I like the show and I think it does a lot of great things. But once again, I feel like there were scenes cut out of this season, and I want to specifically point to the Ryan storyline, which, unless I'm forgetting something, when we last left Ryan, he was with Homelander at the V-52 Expo, and they're both giggling about Bork getting the crap knocked out of him by P.A. Bonnie.
He sips his soda to sort of show he's very comfortable.
It's probably like a Frappuccino or something. You know what I mean? It probably wasn't just
great point. That's a great point.
No, that's true. That really changes the scene and the motivation of the scene.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to help you accurate here, okay?
Yeah. For sure. We are a news reporting organization first. Stop. And a boys recap podcast. Maybe third.
Speaking of triggering, though, I want to talk about
Hold on. Can I finish what I was saying about Ryan? Okay. Because I didn't actually say my point. You started talking about Frappuccinos.
Do tangents, I move on.
I know. I've talked to you a lot. I know how this works. The thing that I was going to say about Ryan is that's where we left this. And when we pick up here with the Avenue V Christmas special puppet show, Ryan is clearly in a conflicted place where he's leading towards Butcher. And all he needs is one Homelander being like, come on, buddy, just do this, suck it up. And he's like, no, I'm on the side of the good guys moving back. And I don't know, it felt like we needed one more scene there to create connection with these things. And maybe there was at one point.
I think the photo was the scene that you wanted, seeing his old family.
He got the photo, weird that there was never any Butcher send that? That's the implication, but like
Vaught Tower was like, this is a Unabomber package. Leave that under
Oily brown paper, definitely get this to Ryan's Christmas tree.
All those soups.
Just to back up what you're saying, Alex, I also feel it's strange the way that scene finished and Homelander was moving like very strategically, Machiavellian, in getting Ryan to his side. And in this episode, he gives a half-hearted voicemail message to him and seems absolutely disinterested. And maybe that's the point, but I think we needed one more scene to just sort of make that the point. And I like the idea that he has now gotten sort of everything he's wanted in Firecracker. And it's just not good. It's not working for him at the end of the day. And I think that's where we're going for this last episode with whatever Sage's plan is. But I think we missed the Ryan part. And the Ryan part feels like it's going to be hugely important in this final episode.
I agree. It has bothered me that it was so important to Homelander to kind of have a son and be as great to him as possible. And that was his only motivation. And now he could care less about him. You know, he gets a little milk and then he's just like, oh, I'm good, man.
Well, I think the larger idea here is that they are showing us, but it just needs a little bit more, is that Homelander is just a kid. He never has, he's been stunted at whatever age his torture began. And so when he gets sort of all of the kid things that he wants, he doesn't care about being pretending to be a dad anymore because he's just happy getting his breast milk from his mom replacement that is sort of like his underling slash maybe sexual partner. So like he has all those things. Everything else drops away. And he has nothing. He doesn't care about anything else. That's why he rips Web Weaver apart in a way that is definitely not the first way you would choose to kill someone.
Yeah, there's so much going on in that storyline. Other than the Ryan stuff, I do really like those moves there, like you're talking about. All the stuff with Firecracker, just booing him up, Sage knowing this was going to happen and being resigned to the fact of like, I told you when we first met, I knew you were going to do this and then you told you don't do this and you 100% did it anyway. And unless that is also part of her plan, seeing him in a very childlike way, like you're saying, specifically be like, oh yeah, you told me not to kill Butcher. Well, I'm going to kill Butcher. See what happens. It's this very throwing a snit, throwing a tantrum child thing to do. I want my toys and I want them now. And it's flying back in his face because all of these things that he does, all these moves from killing Web Weaver in the grossest way possible, which I think like turns off Firecracker a little bit, which I thought was an interesting move.
I love that. I love that she's legitimately like terrified and with good reason. She's like, whoa, why? You didn't need to do that. You just wanted to do that weird rip.
Yeah, that was nice to see Firecracker a little humanity in her a little bit there. But while we were, you know, talking about Ryan here before we move on, I just wanted to say that, like, speaking of the kid.
No, we're talking about Frappuccinos.
Okay, yeah, good. Let's get back to what matters. Smart.
Speaking of the, you know, the kid and people, the kid and me just still finds it horrifying when you see the people working the puppets after you see the puppets like singing. I just, oh my God, I have a hard time with that.
Shatters the illusion.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's just something that, it's rough, man. It's rough.
I do like I hear what you're saying, Pete. I hear you.
And we're here for you if you want to talk about it.
Yes, we're here for you, right? That's
and I feel bad because when we finish up this podcast, there's going to be a puppeteer underneath me.
Don't ruin the illusion, man.
Hand out of my bottom.
And cut. I slump. I slump right off.
Yeah.
Do a little slump. I did like them going limp. I also love the puppeteers immediately being like, oh, crap, it's young Homelander. He's going to go nuts and kill all of us. We got to get out of here as quietly as possible. That was all great. Also, just as like a little Easter eggy note for anybody who didn't watch Gen V, the Avenue V thing actually comes from Gen V. The character Sam, who showed up in the previous episode, two episodes ago, he had hallucinations of this puppet show, this very Sesame Street puppet show that was hosted by Jason Ritter. Jason Ritter, obviously not in this episode, which is too bad. He's a great actor.
Yeah, it was fun, though. They put up the V Kids channel logo. That's a fun detail.
Yeah. And I like the song, too. Another great banger South Park-style song here with See Something, Say Something. Very fun stuff.
Great
stuff.
Oh, yeah, you like it, Alex? You like what it's saying?
Yeah, well, I didn't understand why Ryan was freaking out so much because Antifa can be anywhere. Like, they can be your family. They can be your friends.
Oh, the message is really working. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely – I called up to try to order this, and they were like, sir, this is a fake album, and you're missing the point of the show. And Columbia House subscription ended 25 years ago.
That had to be a lot of bad news at once, man.
And a lot of cool CDs in your mailbox.
For a penny. Six CDs for a penny. You cannot beat that deal.
It was not a penny.
It was a penny when I signed up. And I'm going to admit to a crime here. I made up a third brother before I had a third brother. And we got an extra round of six free CDs.
Wait, there's a brother that you made up that now exists?
That's right.
Wow.
What's his name? Can we mention something maybe even sadder? I used to love getting those envelopes because of the stickers, and I never got Columbia House, but like I'd arrange the stickers and figure out which CDs I would get if I got CDs.
Wow. That's the saddest confession I've ever heard. And, I watch a lot of crime docs.
We know a lot of comedians, and that's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Alex, tell us what 18 CDs you would have gotten with your sticker collection.
Well, definitely Crazy Town. That's one of them. And the other one is...
Did your parents just lock you in a basement when you were a kid? Like, how did you... You're doing things that really make me worried about your child.
Legally, I'm not allowed to talk about that part.
Oh, that's a fair point. Pete, yeah. This is why we have the Frappuccino conversations, because it gets us to the Alex sticker confession. And that's the important part.
That's the juice.
Yeah.
Yes. Why don't we talk about A-Train and everything going on there? I know we were really positive about his scene with the kid the last episode, as mentioned the recap portion. He finally stands up here after, I thought, a great conversation with MM, where
yes.
MM is going to leave the country with Monique, with his daughter.
Getting his happy ending, man.
Getting his happy ending. He's going to go to Belize, sip rum punches on the beach. Sounds very nice.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to do that?
Of course, he doesn't do that because A-Train and MM talk, and first A-Train stands up and fights for them before getting the hell out of Dodge, and then MM pulls out that, what is it, chain gun?
Yeah.
And shoots up the place, too. A great arc. I felt like MM's been a little bit on the back burner this season, but I thought this was such a nice way of bringing these two storylines together.
Yeah. Also, what was great was we talked about how touching that moment was. And then A-Train tried to kind of like use that to get MM a little bit on his side there. That was a great kind of talk between those two. And then the kind of MM saving the day with the Gatling gun was just such a badass moment, man. It had special lighting and everything. Oh, it was glorious.
Yeah, that fight was awesome just across the board, but yeah. MM coming in at that moment was great. For the A-Train part, I got to ask, is this season setting him up to be a hero or setting him up to be a corpse? What are we getting in this final episode?
Or is he gone? Like, I don't believe he's 100% gone, but they really put he's disappeared, he's gone, he's taken his entire family, he's gone off the grid. Ashley gives them the note of, hey, don't forget to take your chip out so they can't find you. And touching. Homelander seems very bereft. So I could see a moment where it's like, surprise, we have A-Train here and we're going to kill him in front of you type moment to the finale. Or he could be off the board entirely at this point. They've really wrapped up his arc, at least for the moment.
Also, it was very interesting how disappointed Homelander was in A-Train. Like, I couldn't tell. I kept looking to be like if he was going to be faking it or whatever, but it almost seemed like it was a real moment of disappointment that A-Train betrayed him.
He was so bummed out he didn't want that titty milk.
Wow.
Yeah, can you imagine not? Wow. It's like Alex, if you didn't get to decide on imaginary CDs you were going to
have. Oh, man. What a letdown.
That's Alex's breast milk.
You know, here's the thing. When I eventually heard some of those albums, they sounded nothing like what they sounded like in my imagination. I wasn't allowed to listen to the radio growing up.
Yeah, your version of Counting Crows is much weepier, no doubt.
One crow, two crow, three crows, four.
Oh, what is that's happening? Really good.
What is happening?
The thing is, I don't think his story, A-Train's story, is over. The speech he gives about like finally feeling like a hero, I don't think that's the end of that. He can't just run away, pun intended, from that. I think he's going to come back and join the final fight. I just hope he gets to live on and be one of the boys next season. But to do that, how does Homelander? Isn't it sort of either Homelander dies or loses in this season finale, or A-Train does, and maybe other members of the team?
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like what puts it in flux is that we now know we have one season left to go with this series. Like, it was something that it seems like they knew when they were finishing up season four here, or at least roughly making a decision on. So I don't think Homelander goes at the end of the season. I don't think Butcher goes at the end of the season. That's the final fight. That's the battle we set up. There's something else that happens in the comics that I don't want to mention yet. I feel like it's a little too early for that. And I don't know if they'll go in that direction. Anybody who wants to read about the end of the comics, you certainly can to find out more. But I think at the very least, those two characters go on. So if it's a choice between the two, A-Train's going to die versus Homelander. But again, I think like we got a button on his story. If anybody is going to die in the finale, it's probably Ashley at this point because she refuses the call, right? Like, she gives a little bone to A-Train, but she's still there.
She compromises herself completely in this episode. She had her out. She killed her lover and then is now staying with the company that sort of pushed her to do that. I love that we have that hugely dramatic scene, and then later she's just like producing the TV special, just like another day on the job. Like, really well done. I agree. She might go down maybe with a hero turn, but also isn't the point of her character? She will always capitulate and will continue to capitulate.
Yeah, that's fair. I also, before I forget, one of my absolute favorite lines of the episode is when she's showing off the NFTs of Homelander, which are all great, by the way. And she says, apparently you're not just buying JPEGs, you're joining a community.
So funny. I love that. And they're mapping so many Trump things onto Homelander, NFTs included, that I feel like the satire is getting real close to the story at this point.
Yeah, one little Easter eggy thing I want to mention on the Trump thing. I don't know if they revealed this before, but on the package that Butcher sends, he has his address somewhere in Jersey City. Wait, I wrote it down somewhere. He has his address in Jersey City, which is not a real address, but the address of Vaught Tower or Seven Tower, the way he puts it, is 1777 Sixth Avenue in New York, which according to Google Maps is actually a pret-a-manger on the south side of Central Park, but it's a pret-a-manger inside Trump Park East, which is part of Trump Tower. So,
wow. Ashley was amazing this episode. And also, Ashley and A-Train kind of gave up their happy ending together. There was a nice moment where, like, A-Train and Furt was still like, nah, but then he thought about it and was like, all right, if we're going to do this, let's do this.
Do you feel like they were going to be together? Is that what you're saying?
It seemed like they were going to run away together.
Like romantically.
Yeah, for a second.
I think it was a parallel to the MM thing, right? They were paralleling MM and A-Train's storyline very clearly. Loved MM finally after all these seasons, getting back with his ex-wife. That was very lovely and romantic.
Great scene.
I mean, come on.
Really good. And I think they were playing that versus Ashley and A-Train, no, they're not going to be romantically together. And she even says that, just sort of playing that as a parallel. And it just turns out in opposite directions because A-Train leaves, but MM stays.
Also, Milk rocking the Black Sheep t-shirt was fantastic.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
Yeah, I knew you were going to call that up.
Yeah. Can we talk about the Deep and everything that's going on with him? So,
sup, cum dumpsters?
Sorry, are you starting the podcast over, Pete?
No, I'm just saying that's his line when he sees the
let's hear
the
it
boys.
For the cum dumpsters.
So. No, that's what he's. That's your, what the that's deep how says.
Every time I call you, that's how you answer the phone. Right?
No, I.
Strange.
That's your voicemail message too, right?
Yeah. That was the line from the show.
I don't remember that, but I do remember that, you saying it nearly every time I talk to you.
I'll never forget it, honestly.
Yeah.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Chase Crawford is so great and terrifying in this episode. Oh. Like, fully, he's always been a dweeb, as we've talked about nonstop, but fully on the dark side in this episode in such a great way.
Well, and I feel like they're doing a good thing, sort of showing how someone who's a useful idiot, if you know that metaphor or that idea, he just like falls down the path of like backing Homelander, and now he is truly an evil twisted. He lets the octopus he loves die.
That was just
for challenging him. He's got a painting of Homelander in his bedroom, and he tries to kill people and gets wrecked, and it doesn't even affect him.
The bro moments though with Black Noir was really fun though. That was enjoyable. But yeah, that the whole octopus scene was hysterical and awful. The whole like her dying and then not dying and then dying and then not.
Yeah. What do you think? An Emmy for Tilda Swinton, right?
Yes.
For playing Ambrosius.
Oh, my God.
Finally, give her some recognition. This is the role she's been dying to play.
Yes. Wait, can I tell a quick story about Tilda Swinton, actually?
Oh, my
so
God.
I was in Berlin for
when
the
you
premiere.
Broke up with her?
Yeah, I broke up with her. She did broke up with me. I was in Berlin working for MTV at the premiere of Grand Budapest Hotel. It was this I was all the way in the back. All the stars, obviously, in the front. And that movie is a huge star-packed Wes Anderson movie, including Tilda Swinton. And there was this host who was hosting the show in both German and English, and nothing worked because she'd do the jokes in German and then repeat them in English, and the rhythm was so off. Like, the vibe was off, the rhythm was off. It was so uncomfortable.
That's horrible.
It was horrible. And then to try to make it better, she started to do crowd work. But her crowd work was going up to everybody being like, oh, who are you? Tell me who you are. And he'd be like, I'm Adrian Brody. And that was pretty – she was like, oh, great, you're in the movie. Great. And that was it. The only laugh and the biggest laugh for the audience was she, after doing like, oh, who are you? I'm Adrian Brody. Who are you? I don't remember who else is in the movie. I'm Steve Carell. She goes up to Tilda Swinton and says, who are you? And Tilda Swinton says, I'm David Bowie. It was great. Killed
That's
it.
A good,
it's
a great joke. Joke. It's
a great bit. So yeah, Emmy for her for that. And then also an Emmy for the show. That was great. I also thought Chase Crawford's, Jesus Christ, those lines when he's going after Annie and he's like, Me not. Too is dead. I don't respect you. Not. I don't respect your truth. Just turning the rote Me Too confession back at her was like, that got me in my gut while I was watching it.
That whole thing was well done. And I was like, of course we're going to have this fight before this season / series ends, like of Annie like wrecking the deep finally.
That was great. And also Noir flying and finally showing that off. Also Noir falling asleep from the narcolepsy. Yeah. It was great.
So funny.
That was great. And just Pete touched on the bro conversation. I don't think I laughed harder the entire episode that when Noir turns to Sage after she gets fired and says, wait, you can't leave, I love you. I laughed so hard at that.
Great.
And then the follow-up of, she's been lobotomizing herself for you too, and then Noir saying, what do you mean lobotomizing herself? Yeah. Amazing. Just classic comedy moment right there.
Also, you know, Starlight had a great line where he's like, he can talk, like just there was some fun in the middle of this fight sequence, such great just timing and jokes and stuff. It was really hilarious.
That fight scene was just operating on all cylinders across the board. It was funny, great reveals, great just actual fighting.
Yeah.
Noir flying was so funny. I just love that across the board.
Why don't we talk about Frenchie and Kimiko? I can't believe you haven't brought this up yet, Pete, because they finally get back together and bond in this episode. They confess what's been going on with each other. Frenchie hasn't been able to talk to Kimiko because he just doesn't feel like he's worthy of her. But Kimiko is like, no, I murdered a bunch of children when I was little, and that's why I don't talk anymore. And this is immediately followed by her getting stabbed with the virus by Samir and Walking Dead rules.
I wrote that down too. Walking Dead rules. Yeah.
I was like, I don't think this works that way.
I screamed no when the scientist stabbed her in the ankle there. I was like, no, not Kimiko. And this show loves cutting off people's legs, apparently. It's a thing that they do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what did you think about Frenchie and Kimiko, Pete, as a shipper, them reconnecting here in this episode?
Finally, it's been a long time coming, and I'm glad Kimiko made him fight for it a little bit. Like, you know, he just kind of showed up, and I was just like, boo. It's so happy to have them talking again. It's just such a weight off our shoulders. You know what I mean?
You know, I agree it's nice to have them together. I just don't know what this storyline feels like. It's gotten sort of the shortest shrift on this season. Like, the Kimiko stuff, I guess if the point is that they both feel horribly guilty all the time, and that brings them back together, they're bonding over shared crippling guilt. That's cool. It just felt like the Kimiko stuff felt like we just did this when in previous seasons. And the Frenchie stuff felt a little like, I just like, what are we doing? We know we need him to come fight and do cool stuff. Like, he can't be. And even the fact when they brought him back and it was just Butcher was like, hey, look, remember him? I was like, oh. They made such a big deal out of him being in jail and Kimiko literally waiting for him outside. I just thought that was strange. But I like where we are with them, so bring on where the next
Now we're past that. We don't need any more revelations about Kimiko's time in Shining Light. They can kind of move past that. I agree with you. It is nice to have the back together. And I did really like the music of the episode as well.
Oh, great, my God, yeah.
The crazy town there, and then what
if you
was the
steal
other
my
one?
Sunshine, Len.
Steal my sunshine.
Oh man!
Oh wait, is that Len?
No, that's Len. Yeah,
Len. Yeah. Okay, great.
That was great. Who else do we need to touch on? I feel like we're probably missing some big plot stuff with Sage. I did like her coming out, admitting that she's been feeding A-Train the information she needs to feed him. That she has had an Uber plan the entire time because. It's felt like she's wigging it a lot of the time. So I don't know. We'll see. I wonder if her getting fired is also part of the plan.
That's my question. Are we still on her ultimate plan? Is she truly the smartest person in the world, or is she just sort of whacking about?
I do think getting fired is part of the plan because she was like, oh, you're firing me? Great. And kind of stormed out, you know? Mm-hmm. But she did drop off that adorable, look like Maeve journal there. So I wonder if that's important.
Well, that's where she had her plan. She showed that to Tech Knight a couple of episodes back. So she's basically like, here, take my plan, see what you can do with it. And Homelander, of course, is totally off script. They're still probably going to still try to go through the assassination on January 6th, but he has been shown to be out of his depth when it comes to that. So he needs Sage to go through with it. He can't just work off of her notes.
And is Sage's plan that my theory was that Sage just wants to sort of take the whole world apart. What do you guys think? I feel like that we are still on her plan and that is what she plans on achieving here.
I agree with that because she's definitely like the boys are breaking apart. She is the one who pushed the deep, as he reminds us helpfully in this episode, to be more of a superhuman supremacist. So him stepping up and attacking Butcher, that can't be a surprise to her. She's pushed him in that direction. Clearly, like, she knows if she has sex with the deep, Ambrosius can taste her or smell her with puckers, whatever it is. All of that stuff. So, like, if she really is the smartest person in the world, she has to know all of these things are happening. Otherwise, it just doesn't work. So we'll see. I feel like we need that Adrian Veidt moment to the end, being like, ha ha, here's how my plan worked the whole time.
Well, I feel like we're definitely getting that. The only other person I guess we should, how do we feel about Butcher? He's fallen over dead, maybe, at the end?
Yeah, I think he died.
Yeah, that's it. Rip Butcher. Yeah. I wonder what's going on with the Joe Kessler personality. I know you speculated that, like, Becca was in charge. We don't see Becca at all this episode.
Yeah. It looked like Negan won that fight.
Negan won the fight, and Negan is also, like, not stepping up to take charge. So I'm not 100% sure what's happening there.
It seems like he's still kind of being a puppet master about things.
Well, just real quick, I feel like we're going to see that whatever is in him is like what was in that rabbit that he saw in the farm episode, and that's going to come out, and we're going to get a half Butcher, half like alien shredder situation. Wrecking stuff.
You had
that's
me
my prediction.
I was hoping for more Krang, but all right, I'll take Shredder.
It'll look like Krang, but it'll shred like Shredder.
I'd like to see him as either a Rocksteady or Bebop personally, but I guess we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Tell me about the differences between those two characters quick.
We're actually running low on time, so I don't think that I can.
I thought it was interesting that Huey did go see the head bopper one last time there. I thought that was a nice try on Huey's part.
Vicky.
Yeah.
Yes. This is so stupid. I hate celebrity gossip or whatever, but it's come out over the past couple of weeks that apparently Jack Quaid and Claudia Dumit, who play Huey and Victoria Newman, have been secretly dating for the past couple of years. And once I heard that, I was like, oh, that's nice. He's hanging out with his girlfriend.
I like how you're like, oh, I hate celebrity gossip, and then got the biggest smile as you dish tea about celebrities. So that's
I'm just happy for people being happy. Whether they're celebrities or not doesn't matter to me.
They're just like us. They want to be happy. They want a Frappuccino. Mm-hmm. Right?
But I did really like that conversation. I love that last-ditch effort to avoid war. I don't know if you guys have been watching House of the Dragon at all, but there was on House of the Dragon recently. So I was like, weird parallel structure here. But that was nice. I like that. And I thought Claudia Dumit actually did a really good job in that scene in terms of indicating the points where she was wavering without saying it out loud.
Yeah. And like, she's going to back away from the edge, right? Is everything going to collapse in on Homelander? Something.
I don't know. Knowing they're headed towards January 6th, they're gonna do storming the Capitol somehow, right?
I would think we're gonna get there. The only thing that I don't is the virus has to play in this finale, and I don't know, is that the button that sets us up in a whole new world for the final season? Potentially.
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna throw that leg grenade of a virus into this. You know what I mean? It's a part of the mix.
They got to do something with it. Like I've been sort of talking incessantly here on the podcast, they sort of need to move that storyline forward. And the fact that they're like, we created one sample of the virus. Now it's gone. Now it's in Kimiko's leg. Now Frenchie needs to remake it. I'm just like, come on, man. And
yeah,
whether it is unleashing it in the season finale or having it as like the main plot without taking it off the board for the final season, one of those two things, they got to move forward in some way.
Agree.
I want to talk about Starlight here. We got a tough conversation with your mom via Zoom. I mean, that's, you know.
She really goes for Huey in that moment. Not cool.
Yeah, that was hard. But also, like, one of the scariest ways to wake up, I think, chained and then people's skin laying around you. I mean, that is just, you want to talk about awful.
Well, unless you have, like, a couple of Columbia Records stickers around to really just sort of distract you. That's fun. Like,
I bet that's the way that they
people... You don't look at the skin that much.
That's nice, because you're so distracted by imagining CDs you might own. The thing is, that's a great way to torture someone, is to leave them in the room with only Columbia House stickers. You know?
And no mailbox in sight. And you're like, or a penny for that matter. The stuff with Annie, other than the thing we talked about with Huey, I do think, again, was very well done versus... the sexual assault stuff with Huey. I think they continue to treat Addie and her abortion in a nuanced way. So I appreciate that.
And I think, like we sort of said, she's been a little bit, you know, struggling this whole season. I think we're going to get a big Annie episode.
Well, that's also what was tough was I was like, oh, great. Huey and Annie are kind of talking a little bit. We get to see their relationship. They're still very attracted to each other. Oh, God, I was horribly wrong. So, yeah, that was that's a tough way to end. So hopefully.
And the shapeshifter is gross. I really like great, disgusting shapeshifter effect with her running through the halls and
they kept slipping on. Oh, it was so gross, man.
Very gross. I mean, it's the only way boys, it's definitely the most boysy take on a superpower. Like, of course, she has to viscerally shred the skin off.
Yeah. Why don't we go through other things we noticed in the episode? I love the Deep bringing up that he had a nose call with Shia on Honey Boy 2. Great.
Honey Boy 2 is such a funny runner. Yeah.
Yeah. That was really good. Also, another very pointed thing, Cameron Colman, now officially dead. The world knows it. But they said he died of a brain aneurysm due to the flu vaccine. And there was a little chyron that says, Jenny McCarthy, quote, another vax victim god. Which I was like,
okay.
That's going hard.
What else? Oh, Frenchie's line, necessity is the MILF of invention. Good line there. Great.
That was
Frenchie's had one killer line, I think, every episode, or at least the last three.
Speaking of lines, I was wrong. It was cum burger. It wasn't cum dumpster. I apologize.
Cum dumpster is your phrase, as we've established. I like the reference to Mike Lindell. I thought was a very funny, the MyPillow guy. Again, they're going hard in a particular direction. Sage, Daisy Duck Dynasty doing math. Like, whoa, what a ride that was. I'd rather fuck a jar of fishing lure. I'd fuck a jar of fishing lures not to be free. Was good.
The Deep... First, Ambrosius quoting Vanderpump Rules, and then being like, why are you quoting Lisa Vanderpump? Very funny, very specific funny reference as well.
Alexa played Dave Matthews Chill Mix from Ashley. Yes.
And I also write right after that, there was a picture of Ashley. She very briefly looks at herself. She's younger, and she's wearing a Che Guevara shirt. And it's just like this very quick character bit of like, oh, she had a future where she was hopeful and fighting for what's right once. Oh, no. Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, I like that too. And that's the thing. They've really let her, we've gotten to know her. So I don't know. That must be meaningful at the end of the day.
All right. Why don't we wrap up here? We'll talk about Best Boy, but after Best Boy, let's talk about like a big prediction for the finale, something that you think is going to happen in the final episode here. But first, who is the best boy? Pete, who is your best boy in the episode?
Wow, there's a lot of great ones. I don't know. I feel like I got to give it up for Annie in this episode.
Nice.
You know, it was a tough conversation with her mom. Also, the their fight scene was really great. Her beating the shit out of the Deep was very enjoyable. So, and I'm worried about her. Okay.
Yep. That's nice.
And I think my big prediction is maybe Homelander's going to lose it and laser everybody like he kind of like had that vision of before.
Mm. I'm going to throw out there my best boy is A-Train in the episode. Whether that's the conclusion of this arc or if there's more to go. I just thought this was really, really nicely done and his hero moment was well earned. And in terms of big prediction, I know we said this earlier, but I just think we're going to get that Sage villain monologue, here's how I did it the whole time thing, because that's what the season has been leading up to. Justin, what about you?
Agree with that. Great answers. I'm going to go for Best Boy with the Deep. I feel like I've chosen almost all villains this season because they've done a great job with the villains in this show. And to see him fall, like giving in to the sort of incel-y, falling down that rabbit hole, I think is just a super interesting character arc. And for prediction, I feel like we're going to get – I want A-Train to live and be a hero and not just die as a hero. So hopefully he stays around. I think we're going to get the virus. I think we're going to get a pandemic will be what we're leading out of this finale into the break. That could be interesting. And one more prediction I forgot. I think Ryan is going to make his full hero turn.
And is there any Gabrus verse predictions?
I haven't talked to him, but I guess there's no other chance. We haven't talked about Talk Boys.
All right. But if you want to talk boys and support this podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about the boys. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter/X, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok and Instagram, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, boys, we see you. We hear you.
And I like to end every podcast with a quote from one of my favorite other podcasters. Goodbye, cum dumpsters.